Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Wes Knoll, Baylor University's Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education and Institutional Effectiveness. Dr. Knoll served as an Associate Dean in the Baylor Honors College, Acting Director of the University's Honors Program, and Founding Director of the PhD in Curriculum and Teaching Program prior to moving into the Provost's Office. Dr. Knoll led Baylor's successful reaccreditation effort with the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commissions on Colleges, as we will be referring to it on the program, SACCOC. He's busy guy. He's with us today on the program. Dr. Knoll, Happy New Year to you, and thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.
Thank you, Derek. Happy New Year to you as well, and I'm very pleased to be on the program today. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, you closed out 2018 with the great news that Baylor's reaccreditation effort were successful, the culmination of a lot of hard work. And congratulations to you on that and your colleagues who you collaborated with to make that happen.
Thank you, Derek. It was a major turning point, a huge effort, and I'm very appreciative to everyone who helped us with the effort.
Well, on the program, we're going to dig into what went into that effort. But to start, what's kind of your biggest takeaway from the whole process, taking that bird's eye view now, having completed it?
Well, I would say the scope of the effort, the reaccreditation effort impacts and looks into every corner of the university's campus, not just the academic affairs piece, across the whole university. So I would say the scope of it was quite intense and significant. I would say the process turned out to be very, very helpful. You know, we meet lots of people across the university throughout that process. It's a peer-reviewed system, so people from other universities come. Well, they review our materials that we submit ahead of time, but they also visit our campus. So I would say in addition to the scope, the number of people that we met along the way, and I would say how much we learned from those people. It's an opportunity to learn from how other institutions run programs, how they manage their institution, and they learn from us at the same time that we learn from them. So that's what I would say is the major takeaways from the experience.
You dig into so many different areas of the university throughout this process. As you look back at it now, does that increase your appreciation of the university itself or its people or what goes on here?
No question. We have so many people at Baylor who love the institution, who have been in their roles for many, many years, and new people at the institution who have jumped in and helped us get Baylor to where we are today and help us look forward to what the future brings with Illuminate and other related efforts that we have going on. So absolutely, people at Baylor are fantastic. They jumped into this effort. Many parts of it are very time-consuming with the writing that has to be done to write to the specific standards, and then when people come to town to visit, to prepare for those conversations. And I was very impressed with everyone who participated in the effort.
Visiting with Dr. Wes Knoll, and let's break down a little bit of the who, what, when, where, and why, because accreditation is one of those terms that just about anyone who's gone to college, been around a college, has heard, but probably the percentage of people who really know what it is pretty small. So we're going to refer to some things like SACCOC. Let's start there. What is SACCOC? Who are they and what do they do?
Well, SACCOC is it's called a regional accrediting body, and it's called regional because it's targeted at a region of the United States. Every university and college in the country has to be accredited, and the other regional accreditors are the WASC, the Western Association of Schools and Colleges out in California. There's a Northwestern accreditor for states like Washington State and Oregon. There's a Northeastern, obviously a Northeastern portion of the country. There's Middle States in places like Colorado and so forth. There's the Higher Learning Commission in the middle part of the nation as well. SACCOC is the southern portion of the nation, not just Texas, but Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, and so on. It's called regional, like I said, because it's the regional part of the nation. It kind of traces back to the late 19th and early 20th century. The point is to ensure quality on the part of these institutions through the federal government. The federal government needed a way to ensure quality on the part of these institutions, and it set up a regional system, peer-reviewed, where institutions basically monitor themselves and ensure the federal government that those institutions, as they receive federal funds through things like federal financial aid, federal research, are doing quality things, are offering quality programs, are managing the institution appropriately, really the regional part as opposed to national. The regional part has to do with when it was getting started, the ability to travel by train in one day's time, because the site-based visit aspect has always been central to accreditation. And so the what made sense was that, well, we set up a system where the visit could take place in a day's time. And so the regional part has always sort of been foundational. And at the time, education was always viewed as a state monitored or a state-run issue. And so it made sense to keep things more local. As the idea of national accreditation really wasn't in the conversation at all. So that has just kind of continued to the present day, and the regional basis has remained. Just quickly, why it matters. Well, for an institution to receive federal funds, like I said, they have to be regionally accredited. So at Baylor, for example, about 50% of our students receive some sort of federal financial aid, and about 50% of our extramural funding, research funding, came from the federal government last year to the tune of approximately $10 million. So it is critical to any university and college out there to remain. And we were never, as we went through things the last few years, our accreditation was never in danger. We did go through a public warning sanction period a couple of years ago and work through all of that. But because of a lot of hard work by a lot of people, our accreditation was never, we've been accredited through SAC COC since 1913, and that was never, ever in danger.
So you talk to people, are there common misconceptions or misunderstandings about what accreditation is?
You know, I think there are. I think there's a common misperception that it's some kind of robotic, institutional, non-human, if you will, bureaucratic kind of process. And there is the element to where you have to write specific documents and prepare specific data to demonstrate accreditation and so on. But it's a very human process, I think. I would get across to people that involves professional judgment of university administrators and faculty coming from other institutions to look at your programs and apply their professional judgment. The concept and the language of professional judgment is critical to SAC COC as well. So recognizing that these are people who are in positions like mine at other institutions coming to Baylor or going to other institutions to look at their programs, to look at how they manage their institution, to look at their athletics programs, to look at their financial aid practices, to look at their student success efforts, to look at their curriculum review processes to see, hey, is Baylor managing things appropriately, and use their professional judgment to do that. It's a very human process. The alternative would be the federal government sending in administrative officials who may or may not have any experience whatsoever in higher education to your campus to look at your books, to look at your documentation, to basically investigate, if you will, whether or not you're upholding standards. And I don't think anybody wants that kind of process. It's far preferable to have peers coming in who do this on a daily basis to see how we're doing things. So I would say the misperception is that it's not a human process or that it's purely bureaucratic, and I haven't had that experience at all.
We are visiting with Dr. Wes Knoll, Baylor University's Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education and Institutional Effectiveness. We're talking about accreditation today. He led Baylor's successful accreditation efforts as announced in December. And take us back to when you were charged with leading this reaccreditation effort. What goes through your mind, and where do you really begin? How do you develop the priorities to taking it to completion at the start?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. Well, I began leading this effort in, I think it was September of 2016, if I recall. And things have changed a lot, I would say, in the just over 2 years. We were coming off the May 2016 moment when we had significant changes administratively with the institution. And we did know that we were likely going to have some kind of warning sanction related to that. And we're going to need to work through that. We were leading up to our 10-year reaffirmation. Every 10 years, a team comes to campus to visit, to participate in that on-site visit that I indicated. And that was scheduled for April of 2017. And so we had to work through a number of things related to a request to delay that and work through the sanction piece of things. So it was a stressful time, I would say. But we worked through it with tremendous people. I put together a team of people from across the university who could help us work through the sanction piece of things and also work through the request to delay the reaffirmation that we were approved for through SAC-COC. So they came in April of 2018 instead of April 2017. So basically, we just had to think through who are the key people in the university who can speak to the questions that SAC-COC had, who had the talent and the knowledge to write the documents that we needed to write. And it was building a relationship with the people at SAC-COC, I would say. Not only were we going through those changes, but we happened to be working through the SAC-COC vice president. Every university has a vice president at SAC-COC with whom we work directly. That person was retiring as well. So, and we had, Patricia Tolbert, who was our person at Baylor who worked with me on SAC-COC efforts, was retiring. I mean, she wanted to help us get through the 10-year reaffirmation, but she was retiring. So we had to build relationships with people at SAC-COC, build relationships with our new vice president there, and also had to work through a process of finding someone to replace Tricia, and we did in Dr. Ben Cox, who's now our director of institutional planning and assessment at Baylor, and is a fantastic addition. I mean, without Ben, there's no way we could have worked through the last 2 years and so forth. So it was both working at our end to build the team at Baylor that we needed to build, but it was also working with SAC-COC as they built their team to build a relationship with the new person we had who came in. A guy named Dr. Barry Goldstein became our vice president with SAC-COC and who was very helpful along the way. So I think key to it was thinking through who the right people were, building those relationships, and then setting goals and setting a target and a timeline for, okay, by this date, we're going to submit these documents. SAC-COC gives you that material yourself. But on our end, okay, sort of month by month, what are the steps in the process? And then planning for the visit that we had, a special committee visit in October of 2017, and then once we worked through that, preparing the documents and going through the process of preparing for the April 2018 visit at the same time. So at the end of the day, it was building the right team, building relationships, planning, and then executing that with the right people.
This is Baylor Connections. Our guest today is Dr. Wes Knoll, Baylor University's Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education and Institutional Effectiveness. And you know, Wes, this is a 23-minute program, and I'm sure to talk about what goes into the accreditation process, we could take up a lot more than that. But as best we can, what are some of the things, once you've assembled that team, what all are you doing? You talk about writing documents and examining different areas of the university. What are some of the main steps in that process from your end, from the university's end?
Sure. Well, SAC-COC has a set of principles, as they call them, and another sort of transition that took place during the last 2 years is SAC-COC actually rewrote their principles. And when I say principles, those are the standards, the outcomes that they expect of any institution. And it stretches everything from, the integrity. I mean, do you operate with integrity as an institution? How does your board operate? Does your board go through proper training? The administration, how does the university administer itself? Does the president have sufficient control? Does the president oversee and have sufficient control over intercollegiate athletics? To finance, facilities, to program scope, to student success, everything you could possibly think about as far as the institution is concerned. So what we have to do in the process is write documents to show that everything we do is up to standard, and then we submit that document to them for review through an off-site team, as it's called. It's a group of peers who meet off-site to review those documents, and then they narrow it down from, say, there used to be 100, but now there are approximately 70 standards organized into 14 different categories. And they look at those, and typically an institution of those 70 may have 10 or 12 that are the primary focus of the on-site visit. So they look at all the documents that you've submitted, and they say, okay, these 55 look good, but these 15, when we come to town next April, these are the 15 we're going to look at most specifically. So a team of usually 8 to 10 people come to campus, and these will be professionals out of the universities in areas like student life, areas like the provost office, areas like Well, they might be chiefs of staff at other universities. That's typically a president of a university that is the chair that comes to town. And they'll look at everything, but they'll focus specifically on those 15. And they'll spend 4 days, and they'll spend that time interviewing people on campus who are experts who oversee that particular area. To ask more questions, to see what other information they might need to verify that the institution is doing what it needs to. So just to pick one example, the SAC COC is very interested in ensuring that the faculty qualifications are sufficient. So in other words, if someone's teaching an English class or a history or an accounting class, do they have the proper credentials? Do they have a PhD in that area? And if they don't, what other kind of qualifications can that department in that school demonstrate that shows they're qualified? Another one is general education outcomes. You know, I talk a lot about the four C's, communication, critical thinking, civic leadership, and Christian perspective that serve as the foundation for all of our programs at the undergraduate level, those four general education outcomes. SAC COC is very focused on making sure that every university that's accredited has those outcomes and has processes in place to ensure that those outcomes are being met and that the institution is collecting data related to that and can make appropriate adjustments to their undergrad gen ed curriculum to make sure that those outcomes are being met. So when they come to town, they'll talk to people in the provost's office who oversee faculty credentialing, the process we go through to verify that every single faculty member is qualified, and they'll talk to people who oversee general education, the General Education Assessment Committee, for example. Or they'll talk to department chairs. They'll talk to faculty who teach general education courses if they have additional questions about all of that. So it's a very intense process, and typically once an institution is reaffirmed, they still have one or two of these standards, maybe even three, that they're writing to, that they're working on. I'm very pleased to say this time around that we were reaffirmed for 10 years and there weren't any.
As you go throughout the university, working with your colleagues, having them write papers that are presented, or working with SAC COC staff, are there some areas that really stood out to you? What does it, in what ways is the work being done across campus, the good work, come to the forefront in a process like this?
Yeah, it's a great question, Derek. And like I said, people at Baylor love the institution. We have, you know, there's a reason we're voted a great place to work for every year. People love the institution and love to contribute. And it's hard to think of areas that I would highlight. But as we went through this process over the last couple of years, and I met so many people, I would say the work that the Board of Regents has done on the assessment of the board, the complete reorganization, if you will, of the board really stands out as terrific work. I would say the work that's been done in athletics by Mac Rhodes to really move the Department of Athletics forward and reorganize so many things there really stands out. I mean, our student life area is always terrific with the reports they submit with their care and concern for students. I can't leave out the academic affairs area, the work we've done in the provost office. We've always been very strong with all of our processes, procedures, documentation, and so forth. If I had to pick one area in academic affairs where I think we've really done great work, I would say with the general education assessment area. That's one that most institutions get some form of sanction related to that or some form of additional work. And we were working on that and did have further work to do, like I said, in 2007. But now there was no concern or question related to our general education assessment work. And that's because of the great work of that committee. And I would say specifically Dr. Cox in our institutional effectiveness office.
What about the QEP, the Quality Enhancement Plan? We've done a whole show on this before with Dr. Hamilton, but as we go forward with Global Baylor, that's going to open up more opportunities for students to become international leaders. What role did that play in this? Because I know there's a big tie-in.
Absolutely. The QEP is central to the reaccreditation process. It's changing a little bit with the new standards that SACS is implementing now, but the QEP has always been central. Institution has to have one. And it has to be designed as something new that improves student learning outcomes and that has not been implemented before or is not necessarily closely tied to something that's been implemented before. And we're very excited about our QEP that's called Global Baylor that has to do with internationalizing our campus, providing more opportunities for students to study abroad, areas such as Students such as minority students, first-generation students, providing them with the scholarship support that they need, students who might not otherwise have an opportunity to study abroad. There's a global certificate opportunity where students can take collections of courses and get a certificate in global education, or global certificate it's called, on their transcript, so they can be a business major or English major or an education major and have the certificate to demonstrate to employers or to others that they have competency in this area. It's all tied to the worldwide leadership and service dimension of our mission. Mm-hmm. And Jeff has done a tremendous job with this. We're really excited about the possibilities. It's also tied, not necessarily directly, but indirectly, to our desire to increase our international student population to around 8%. We're about 4% now, so we want to try and get to 8%. So that's also tied to it. So the QEP is an exciting initiative, and folks will be hearing more about it in the months to come.
And I'm sure some of that will be here on Baylor Connections as well.
Yes.
And finally, Wes, as we head into the final moments of the program here, what's next? I know there's hopefully a chance for y'all to take a little bit of a deep breath and enjoy a job well done, but what's next? How do you make sure and ensure over these next 10 years, getting off to a start now, that you're staying abreast of the things you need to for that next effort?
We have to keep collecting data annually. We have to expect reports from the people on campus annually to demonstrate that we remain in compliance. I think we have a fifth-year interim report that will be due in 2023 that we keep working on. So the main thing is to remain in compliance with the standards, and the better work that we do on that, the easier the job will be in 2023 and in 2027 when the next step comes along. You know, I would say kind of to wrap up, to connect this to Illuminate, you know, we have the pillars and we have the initiatives with Illuminate. Accreditation is one of those things that if you neglect it, you can get yourself in trouble in a hurry. And we have obviously not done that at all. And I would describe Illuminate as accreditation as the slab on which the pillars of Illuminate sit, if you will. The foundation is accreditation. You have to have that. And then you build your pillars and the initiatives on that going forward. So we're really pleased with where we are, and I'm happy to have the opportunity to talk about it today.
Well, that's great. We've enjoyed this, and congratulations to you and your colleagues. It was exciting to see that news in December, and another big step going forward with the university. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Derek. Happy to be here.
Dr. Wes Knoll, Baylor University's Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education and Institutional Effectiveness, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.